showed you some of these things, and that these are all listed in your Healing Kitchen book, so you can see there. And I love the Go Raw sprouted seeds. I put a picture of my absolute favorite ones. It's called the Spicy Seed Mix, and it's pumpkin seeds and sesame. No, I don't know if they're sesames. Pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, and it's mixed with cilantro and pepper, and it's just divine. It's just totally divine, and it's a great easy to use snack, but also you can sprinkle them on salad. But here's one thing you can do that most people don't realize to do. All you have to do is take a big handful of them, put them in the blender with water, and blend. You have an instant salad dressing. Yum, yum, yum. Really great. And they're already been sprouted, so they're really good for you. The other thing I like is the konjac foods. It's the fiber powder, the root, konjac root powder. We showed this last Saturday in the Healing Kitchen show when we did the pasta, and we showed that in terms of thickening up a sauce. It doesn't take much, anywhere from an eighth to a quarter of a teaspoon mixed in, and it gives things a nice, I was going to say jello-y, but it's not really like that. But it took what I blended some coconut with water and made a little sauce. Kind of, I was trying to make like a mayonnaise or a spread, and I added just a little bit, like an eighth to a quarter teaspoon of the konjac powder, and it just made it very like mayonnaise-y. Very excellent, really good. Psyllium seed husks, you've probably all heard of. It's a great fiber, but it also thickens things up. So sometimes I'll use it in my cheeses, especially if I'm going to be making like a baked dish. The kids love lasagna. So we get these tinkiata brown rice noodles, or I use zucchini as my noodles. And I'll make the cheesy stuff like cashews and macadamia nuts, Brazil nuts, whatever, and turn that into a cheese and then add a little psyllium. And it gives it, especially when it bakes, it gives it kind of like a stretchy consistency. And the kids just absolutely go crazy for it. Ground vanilla used to be hard to find. And all I could find was this stuff that was filled with dextrose. And now it's easy to find. You can get it on Raw Food World. You can get it at Ultimate Superfoods. There's a number of places you can get it. And it's a really nice thing. Quite expensive, but you don't use that much. And just a little teaspoon of that or quarter teaspoon of that mixed into various things gives it a great flavor. The Thai Kitchen Red Curry Paste. This was a sleeper. I wasn't expecting this to be so good. It's actually a little curry paste. It's made with galanga and lemongrass and chili peppers. There's a red and a green one. And it's very pure, very pure. And it's got really nice flavor, and I love to add that to make like a curry sauce to put over vegetables or over noodles, or to make a soup, like a Thai soup, tom yum soup or something like that. As far as salt, we generally use a mixed salt. We use one from I think it's Ultimate Superfoods. We get a big pound bag of it, and it lasts for a really long time, and it's a mixed whole food salt. It's not the refined sea salt. And then the coconut aminos and coconut vinegar come from Coconut Secrets. And coconut aminos is a good replacement for soy sauce, because with the soy sauce, a lot of them are made with wheat. So you have to be really careful to make sure that you get the wheat-free tamari. The Bragg's is suspect. A lot of people think it's got a lot of MSG in it, so I'm a little suspicious of the Bragg's liquid aminos. But the coconut aminos are made from coconut, and they have a slight, very similar taste to the tamari. Very good. And I don't use it a lot. I usually use it when I want to make something that's Asian. What I find is, and if you look at most recipe books, they use Bragg's or tamari like it's just like it's a seasoning, because they're trying to get a flavor. And it does give a nice flavor to things, but I personally think it's cheating. There's other ways to get good flavor without having to put that in everything. You see nama shoyu in a lot of raw recipe books. I mean, more and more people are getting aware that nama shoyu has wheat in it and it shouldn't be used, but so many people use it in their books, and every other page has nama shoyu on it. And I think it's just to cover up for the fact that that's the only way they can get the recipe to taste good. Whereas I like to use the five flavor balancing, which you've either learned. It's part of the green cleanse. You've gotten a booklet on that. And then the coconut vinegar is actually quite similar to the apple cider vinegar. It's very alkalizing. It usually has what they call the mother in it, which is the kind of glob. People think, oh my God, that's awful. But it really means that it's a really live food. It's a really living vinegar. And that's the fermentation product. And then I wanted to say a quick word about Navita's natural products. They have quite a number of dried vegetable and fruit kind of powders. So I love the pomegranate powder, although just be careful and check your blood sugars with that. But when you mix the pomegranate powder into other things, it gives it a really nice flavor. And it also has some chemicals in there that help with insulin resistance. Although if you do too much, the sugars can counteract that. And it also is very good for gut rejuvenation. They also have, Navita's has some cashews that are really raw. They have hemp seeds. They have a chia and a flax that are already sprouted and dehydrated. So it's a really good thing to sprinkle on things, and you don't have to worry about germinating them yourself. So check out Navita's. There's some links in the guide. And I like a lot of their products. So I thought I would give you a list of my top 12 essential oils. And I gave you a link at the beginning of this to my little essential oil guide. It was just a little thing I made that describes the different essential oils and some of their therapeutic properties and tells you how I use some of them in my water blends. So these are some of my favorites. I absolutely love anise. I like anise no matter what. And I have a licorice which tastes similar to anise, and it's flavored with anise oil. So it's like double whammy licorice anise. Yum. The cinnamon here, like I said earlier, it tastes kind of like, reminds me of some of those cinnamon candies that I used to eat when I was a kid. Peppermint, love peppermint. And spearmint. I just absolutely love spearmint. Spearmint is just such a nice, it's different than peppermint. Peppermint's real cooling. Spearmint has almost a sweetness to it that the peppermint doesn't have. And of course, I love lemon. I love lemon in every way, shape, or form. And all of the citrus, the essential oils have something called limonene in it. And limonene is a really good phase two liver detoxifier. Really, really good for that. They're also good at cutting down fat. So they're good at breaking down fat and cholesterol deposits, and also good for like the sludge that builds up in the morning. If you put lemon oil in your water first thing in the morning, it just helps your digestion just start moving. The lemongrass, therapeutically, I don't even remember what it does. I just know I'm totally in love with the flavor. I love, love, love it. I love putting it into blended soups, especially with coconut. It's one of my favorite combinations of flavors is coconut and lemongrass. Lime, again, like lemon, I just adore lime. And the lime essential oil is really potent, and it's really especially nice with the lemongrass and the coconut in a Thai soup. Just absolutely outrageous. Oregano and thyme are really therapeutic, really good antiviral immune system boosters. And I love to make Italian flavored things. So if I make a dip and I just want to quickly throw something in, I can throw a drop of oregano, a drop of thyme oil, and a drop of basil oil, and I've got a quick and easy Italian thing. Really yummy. Or if I'm drinking a tea or a soup and I want to flavor it up real quick. And then there's two blends that I really like. Those are both from doTERRA. They're Slim and Sassy and On Guard. And again, the links to all of this is in the little booklet. So I wanted to make sure that you understand just a little bit about the reading the labels. I wanted to show you more of the labels, but because we were having a little bit of difficulty with our transmission, I didn't want to take so much time to read as many of the labels as I would have liked to. But you have a nutrition facts label. And at the top says the serving size. Well, in this particular case, it's one slice because it's a bread label. It might say 1 ounce. It might say, 4 ounces, a half a cup, whatever. The thing about this is a lot of companies try to deceive you into thinking that their product is a lower fat or lower calories or better for you than it is by distorting the serving size, by making the serving size like, oh, and there's 42 servings per package. And you're looking going, I was just going to eat the whole package, right? It's completely out of reality. And they do that so that it looks like, oh, there's only 1 gram of sugar in here. Well, really the normal serving size is 12 servings of what they say. So it's 12 grams of sugar. So it's a lot different. So I'd just caution you to look at that. And when it says servings per container, realistically, how many servings would you think that that container is going to make? Then they always give you the calories, and they give you calories from fat. This particular product, 90 calories of the 106, it's a lot of fat. If it's 100, it's 90% fat, which is like, unless you're reading an oil label, one slice of something should not be 90% fat. But if that's a 60, then it's more than 50% fat. So it's a lot of fat. It's a lot of fat. And it tells you how much saturated fat, how much trans fat. So obviously this has some trans fat. But here's the thing. Things can say trans fat free and not really be trans fat free. Because what they're looking at is the overt trans fat, like hydrogenated soybean oil. That's trans fat. But what they're not taking into account is every time you heat a polyunsaturated oil, you create oxidative byproducts and you turn it into, at least a percentage of it, into trans fat. You shift the bonds by heating. So it's really kind of deceiving when things say trans fat free. And then you look at the carbohydrate and the fiber. In this case, it's 15 grams. Okay, so that must be. Let me tell you how you can calculate how many calories that would be. Every gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. So, yeah, 4 calories per gram, right? Yeah, so 15 grams times 4 is 60 right there. So it's 60 grams of carbohydrate. 3 grams of protein, every gram of protein is 4 calories. So it's 12. So 60 and 12 is 72. So 90 plus 72 is 162. So it's 160. When you look at this, when you look at the total carb as 15 and dietary fiber less than a gram, you know that that's all refined carbohydrate and it's not good. Whereas if you look at something and it has 15 grams of carb, but the fiber is 12 grams, you know that this is a good food, that most of the carb is coming from fiber. And then you've got in the protein, like I talked about. They give you percentages of the daily value of those vitamins. Your daily requirement of, say, calcium is 1,000 milligrams. They're saying that this particular product has 45% of that, which would be about 450. So 450 milligrams. So that's how you calculate. Or iron, it says 6%. And if your daily requirement of iron is 15 or 20 milligrams, then you know that that's, you know, 10% would be 2. So it's only about 1 gram of iron, not very much. Okay, so it gives you an idea. And that's how you look at your labels and figure out if things are good. There's labeling tricks that are used in the industry that you want to avoid falling prey to and thinking of food as a good food when really it's not. And sugar-free is a biggie. I really didn't realize this until recently, that they could say it's sugar-free as long as it's free of sucrose, which means that all these things that have high fructose corn syrup and things that are sweetened with fructose or cane syrup or other things like that can actually say sugar-free. The same as, so you look at Oreos, right? If you read the label on these Oreos, sugar-free, it means it's good for you, right? Read the labels and all the artificial crap and all the various kinds of bad oils and sugar. I mean, they're not really sugar-free. They probably have aspartame in them, but they could be sweetened with other sweeteners as well. Low fat. Oh yeah, let's go get reduced fat Wheat Thins. Have you ever read the labels? There's all kinds of garbage. But when they put the label, low fat, sugar free, low carb, natural, whole grain, all of those things trigger people to think, ah, this is good for me. And then you read it and it's still a whole bunch of crap. So you really do need to read your labels. Don't trust the manufacturing advertisements on the front, because they will use it, and they do use it to trick and deceive, to make you think it's a healthier product than it is. You know, low carb, what does that mean? Most of the stuff that says low fat, low carb, it may indeed be low fat, low carb, but it also, what does it contain? A lot of them are what I call frankenfoods or plastic foods. They really don't resemble real food. They're just a bunch of chemicals that were put together in a lab, and they're made to taste like what they were supposed to taste like. And elderly are so prey to this. They're just like, they want their things that are familiar. I know my in-laws would do that. My father-in-law every night would have to have his diabetic low-fat cookies. And you read the label, there's no resemblance to food, and it's just full of all kinds of chemicals and junk that are just not good for you. The whole natural. Oh, yes, it's natural. Yes, what does that mean? There's no definition for natural. This is a bag of potato chips. It says natural. People go, oh, it's natural potato chips. Just grab it. Or even organic. Oh, these are organic corn chips. Well, you read it. It's corn fried in a bunch of oil. What makes that healthy just because it's organic? It's not. So don't fall prey to this stuff and really read your labels and clean out your pantry. Educate your family as well so that you don't get caught up in this trap. The trans fat free, I already talked about how it, you know, they don't really, trans fats, but oxidized fats. And they change shape based on the length of time and the temperature at which things are heated. So they can actually contain trans fats even if they're not hydrogenated. And then I talked to you already about the portion size trickery, which, yes, you pick up this can of soup and it's only got 5 grams of whatever in it. And you look at the thing and you go, oh, that's about half of that is, or two of those would make a meal. And you read it and it's 6 servings. It's like, where are these people who would eat a sixth of a can of soup? I mean, unless they're eating it with a whole other banquet. And then you add it all up and you end up with a tremendous amount of saturated fat, trans fat, sugars, and all kinds of garbage. So some of the so-called healthy comfort foods, they all end up having heated oils in them, just about all, except the ones that are really, truly are fat-free. And then they have some kind of plasticky stuff that's supposed to taste like or feel like. Fine grains, even the gluten-free versions, there's a tremendous market for gluten-free products. It's a $1 billion industry, I think, by now, whereas 10 years ago, it wasn't anywhere to be found. But most of the stuff is loaded with refined grains, white flour, potato starch, white rice. It's just white stuff. And then they have sugar. Almost all of them have sugar. A lot of them have dairy and a lot of them have egg. And we know from statistics and from understanding how these things work is that probably 80, 90, even closer to 100% of people who have gluten intolerance also have dairy intolerance. They just go hand in hand. So you get all these things that you think are healthy and they're really not. And people are switching to gluten-free, but not necessarily getting any healthier. So that's the stuff that's a good thing to watch out for. They always have heated and poor quality oils. Just the fact that they have oil in them and they're baked good, they're heated oils. And when you heat oils, you get oxidation and you create trans fats and you create free radicals in your body. Like I said, sugar, a lot of them have gluten. You know, it may say a natural, you know, whole grain. When they say it's a whole grain bread or whatever, it doesn't mean it's just whole grain. And they don't have to be a high percentage of whole grain. They just have to contain whole grain in order for them to be able to say that. So it might be 90% white flour and 10% whole grain, and they're calling it whole grain. Plus, all of those really have gluten in it, and gluten can be really bad for lots of problems, lots and lots of problems. Additives and preservatives. They almost all have additives, preservatives, and a lot of them have dairy and eggs. So I wanted to just show you some. These just happen to be bread recipes, but just to give you an idea of reading labels and where some of the pitfalls might lie in you thinking these things are whole grain or good for you. Bayari's concerned about whether there is aluminum or anything toxic in the lids to the canning jars. Yeah, that's something to find out because I don't know what's actually in them, and a few people have expressed concern. They do sell plastic lids that you can get, and I did buy some, but then it's like it's plastic. Is it BPA-free? Is it leaching? So it's really an issue of determining. Those canning lids are very convenient. Let's just take a look at a few labels and then we'll open it up for questions. So this is our typical white bread. Enriched flour. They make it, oh, it's so good because it's got all the B vitamins added. Well, they took out about 20 vitamins and minerals and put back in about 5 vitamins. Yee, what happened to the rest? Causes our Krebs cycle to go haywire and not be able to produce energy. High fructose corn syrup, potato flour, yeast, buttermilk, all of these are in bread. Then they add wheat gluten and dough conditioners and all these other things. So these things that look really innocent are not. Here's whole wheat bread. Okay, it's got sugar in it, organic evaporated cane juice. It's got added wheat gluten, extra, cultured whole wheat flour. That's a plus. Hyaluronic sunflower, safflower. Hyaluronic means that it's higher in what's called oleic acid, which is a monounsaturate, which is a little bit less subject to oxidation. So if you are going to eat something that has sunflower or safflower oil in it, go for the ones that say hyaluronic. And then these lots of sweetener. They've got molasses, barley malt, and evaporated cane sugar. So breads are actually just so bad for your blood sugar. Here's another version of whole wheat bread, corn syrup, honey, molasses, and then all these other ingredients and diglycerides and dough conditioners, and bromane is usually in there, which is a thyroid inhibitor. The better ones are going to be the manna breads, but even this, if you're sensitive to gluten, you should not be eating this. But this is simple, organic sprouted rye kernels and filtered water. So if you don't have a gluten intolerance, that would be the way to go if you really want to do bread. These Ezekiel breads, again, we buy these breads for the kids. They're much, much better than any of the others, right? They're all organic sprouted. But again, you can't use them if you're gluten intolerant. Wheat and barley, millet, malted barley is a little bit of sweetener, lentils, soybeans, spelt. So they've got a lot of gluten in it, but it's still better than the commercial breads. But the gluten-free breads, like the brown rice, this one's decent, but the white rice ones are really bad because it's all white rice. Brown rice flour, filtered water, fruit juice concentrate. So not necessarily good for somebody who has glycemic problems. And if you do, I would make sure that you're testing your blood sugars with this and go in moderation. Sprouted millet bread, they're like, wow, yay, way to go. But it's not gluten-free. It still has, its first ingredient is whole wheat kernels. And then it has filtered water, organic millet, and organic brown rice. So the millet is not sprouted. It's a little bit deceiving. It's the wheat is sprouted, and then they add millet and brown rice to it, but still wheat is the predominating piece. So don't get fooled. This is a wheat-free, gluten-free millet bread, fruit juice sweetened. This my son. We buy it for my son. It's pretty simple. Brown rice flour, millet flour, fruit juice concentrate, tapioca yeast, xanthan gum, that kind of stuff. You know, again, not ideal foods for us as adults who may have blood sugar imbalances. But that contrasted to those whole wheat bread things, whole wheat flour, water, yeast, salt, and some sort of sweetener. That's what your homemade would be. Now take a look at this. This is one of my favorite breads in the whole wide world. I could sit down and eat a whole package of this. I've gotten this on Raw Food World. I found it on Raw Guru. Amy's Onion Bread. Onions, sprouted sunflower seeds, flax seeds, coconut aminos, and olive oil. All organic, all raw. Whoa, way to go. This stuff is good. This stuff is great. This stuff is delicious. No sugars, no grains, low glycemic, little on the fat, you know, a little bit high in fat because it's got the extra olive oil and the sunflower seeds, but yummy, delicious. You can make sandwiches out of it. A little pricey, but you can also make it on your own. Get a dehydrator and you can make it on your own. And I wanted to leave you with, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about food. We spend a lot of time getting our pantry set up and talking about recipes and why. I mean, why can't we just eat the standard American diet and be like everybody else? Well, inflammatory foods are not fun. This is an inflammatory condition. There are millions of people walking around with inflamed joints, inflamed colons, inflamed lungs, inflamed skin because they're not eating properly. They're eating foods that create inflammation. We're steering you towards creating that healthy pantry, doing a pantry makeover so that all the foods in your house are supportive of getting the inflammation down. It's no fun having hands that hurt all the time. It's no fun having a brain that can't think clearly. It might be fun to sit down and eat a crunchy loaf of whole fresh baked bread, but is it worth it? I think not. I think that the consistency of feeling good, of feeling energetic, far outweighs the temporary taste pleasure on your tongue of some of these foods. And besides, we've talked to you about it today, showed you some things on all of our Healing Kitchen classes. We've shown you how delicious the food can be without all the other crap added to it, without all the inflammatory foods. You can be vibrant and healthy and alive and feel good and protect your body. So eat right, live right, and you will feel good, look good, and you'll enjoy your life so much more. So